Hey everyone, today we are talking King Kong, Nintendo, and American Ninja Warrior. All that and more on this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, because we are live from the Bob Varley studio, and this is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 36 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of, which I think I'm saying it now for maybe the fifth or sixth time, the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I guess it's never really bad to repeat your brand over and over again. I am your host, Craig Williams, joining you in a t-shirt that I think I just wore a couple weeks ago. So that makes me upset, but hey, I like wearing the same shirts over and over again. And I'm joined at the table by a person wearing a similar color shirt, just not the same exact one, Rhino Clevin.
Hello.
There he is. There he is. And then also joining us today, and usually on my other side, Jenny Lynn.
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
I didn't get the blue shirt memo.
Yeah, you didn't get that memo, but you
third wheel as usual.
You have your Bumblebee jacket, as always.
As always.
Not a problem. But it's getting warm in here, so I don't think you'll be wearing that today.
I don't think so. That's a first, huh?
That's not a problem, no. And I would say who's in the back right now, but he just stood up, and well, now he's sitting back down. So in the back, on the controls, as always,
I'm here.
Our producer and friend, Dustin West.
I am happy to be here, and hey there, hi there, ho there. How you doing?
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. Yeah, we've got I wouldn't want to say a big show. I would like to say epic, maybe, just depending on how it all goes, but it definitely might be an epic show coming up, because we are talking about King Kong and his big giant
self
return, his big giant self, and also his return to Universal Orlando after many, many years of being away now, and also a little Nintendo news that happened. Last week, we actually had our pre-recorded episode from the 7 and 7. Because we were on the 7 and 7.
We were at sea.
So we were in the middle of the seas. So that's why we didn't go out live. Otherwise, we would have talked about all that goodness last week. And then also, we did have a buzz episode last week, though. We had two buzzes in a row now. But there's just so much big news happening.
Things are happening. Hopping.
Yeah, we can't not say it. But I guess we'll jump into a little housekeeping first before we get to all of that. Most importantly, in my opinion, I think we had a wonderful What did we decide to call it? A land sea adventure.
Yeah,
I mean it is a land sea package, but
the 4 and 3 or 4 and 4. What did we call it?
I liked land and sea.
It sounds
exploratory.
The land sea. I mean, the hashtag I used for the tweets that I put out was Disland Sea. So
all right, let's go with that.
Yeah, it was our land sea adventure.
I mean, you made a hashtag and everything. It's kind of done.
Indeed.
We had a wonderful time. We definitely got to experience a good amount of Universal, the resort specifically. We had people in each of the hotels, and we kind of made our way around to all of them and just really experienced as much as we could in the short time that we had there. I feel like we actually could have used an entire week just to take it all in.
Yeah,
I think so. Between all the resorts, yeah, definitely.
It was started to feel surprising rushed. How much was going on at each one of them. Like, yeah. There's a lot to just take in. Yeah.
And it just, I mean, if you're looking at dining experiences alone,
oh yeah,
it's you can't even eat at every restaurant at each of, well, except for Cabana Bay, but even then, that's, you'd have to eat at their quick service
and then the outdoor bar,
and then maybe up in the bowling alley, 3 meals in one day, and that's the only way you could do it. But some of the resorts that have more restaurants, I mean, you just can't get it all done in one day.
No,
so we'll have to go back.
Yeah, we will have to go back, but all that coverage, as well as our coverage from our Royal Caribbean cruise, the Enchantment of the Seas, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think we all had a good time.
I think we're going to have some fun stories and content come out of that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll have to see how much we are actually legally allowed to share.
We went for an experience, and we had an experience. So
I would absolutely say that. Yeah, I'm very excited to put everything together that we have from that giant, massive, over a week-long trip that we took. And hopefully, it will be coming out sometime in June. Still haven't locked down the exact dates on when that will be coming out, but it's all depends on how busy we are, because right now we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off with everything we're doing.
Complete madness.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. We have a tough job.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that's all coming up later, so look out for it. In other news, last week on the pre-recorded show, we were confused about how many spaces are left open for our Diz-sponsored events. Well, we now know that Dizapalooza at Diagon Alley, that awesome party we keep talking about, has filled over 870 spaces right now, and the cutoff is going to be at 900. Oh. So,
yeah.
So are you or are you not going to be among the last 30?
Yeah.
Commit now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, you won't be there if you don't sign up quickly, and it's not like people can drop out and say they're not going, and it's non-refundable. So once you commit, you're in it to win it.
We will find you, and we will fly you out there, and we won't pay for it.
Yes, we will fly you out. We will book your flight, but we will require your credit card info or a cashier's check. People still use those.
Cashier's
check. I actually thought about going to make one the other day. That's funny. I was like, why? It's 2015. We have online banking. Who needs that anymore?
Fantastic. just caught me off guard. And then in terms of our 2016 cruise on the Oasis of the Seas, another Royal Caribbean ship that's going to be docked out of Port Canaveral, our group space is sold out. So
you really need to...
Dizapalooza is sold out.
Oh, that
both of them are... Okay.
Wow. Never mind. Pete just came in the room.
Our
Pete Werner here, folks.
I wish I
was gonna cut to.
Sorry, yeah, I just heard you say it. Like, no, sold out.
Yeah, okay. Well, Dizapalooza is officially sold out. We're just finding this out now, so that changed a lot in a day.
Wow.
So sorry about that.
Even in just the last news, 5 minutes.
Yeah, Dizapalooza completely sold out. So everyone who is coming, we're happy that you're going to be joining us, and everyone who isn't, I'm sorry. You'll probably see a lot of social media posts that night.
We'll wave to you from the gate. Well, yeah. You'll get one of these.
That would be excellent. Back to the Royal Caribbean, Oasis of the Seas cruise, December 4th through the 11th in 2016. Our group space is sold out. That doesn't mean that you still can't go on the cruise. There is still space available on the ship, and Dreams Unlimited would love to help you out, because you have to book through them
to be
a part of the exclusive Diz events that are going to be happening.
The festivities.
Yes.
And if you do that, obviously the earlier the better.
Exactly.
The more availability there is, that means there's less competition for those rooms, which means the prices are lower. So go ahead, and if you want that, book now. Even though you're not in our group space, you'll get a better price than you will if you wait till the last minute.
And I think on Tuesday's show, maybe Pete or John said they were still doing, it's not the group space rate, but I think they were still doing like a special or something like that. Was it the buy one, get one half off?
We still
or
have good like, prices at this point.
Oh, yeah. So it's not like out of the question for people to go. So, like,
yeah.
But you should know, like, what this sends, the message that's being sent to me with this booking going so fast is just that, like, it's going to be a good sized group, and it's going to be like a lot of fun because we have that whole week together. So,
and John always rounds up some special things happening whenever we're on the podcast cruises. So it's going to be a wild time. I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Very excited. It'll be your first one. And
yeah.
Well, last year's one was my first one as well as JL's, and Dustin is a veteran of them. So
somebody made a really good overview video. Who was that?
That's of the Oasis of the Seas.
Yeah, that's what we're going on next year.
Yeah, I know.
So you could check that out.
So that was you.
You can.
Oh, I think what?
YouTube.com/WDWinfo. But we'll get to more of that housekeeping later. I don't want to waste any more time.
Well, I have some housekeeping.
Oh. I think she actually told me this, and I maybe forgot.
No. Actually, okay. This just came in this morning. So, you know, we went to the parks yesterday.
Yeah.
Enjoyed some good group time together.
We did.
Posted some pictures of ourselves on the main level floor of...
Shh, we're going to talk about that later.
That's
spoiler
our mid-show
alert.
Shuffle.
Okay.
See, that's what happens when you show up 10 minutes before we go to record. You didn't get all the info.
Wow. Okay. Back to you, Craig.
Not bitter about it.
I like my new shirt.
Do we have any, do we have any other housekeeping? That's perfect for people who are people who are listening only. That's they really they appreciate that information.
I described it as cerulean blue, so I hope the visual goes.
Yes.
Anyway,
and,
go ahead.
And I would say mine is a nice faded blue.
Yeah.
But anywho, let's talk about what's buzzing.
That was really well cued.
I forgot about our theme song. We what's don't have one for that one.
Did we write
what's
one?
Buzzing?
Oh, yeah.
Trip so, dog. The big news, which isn't really that much of news, but it is news at the same time. King Kong has officially now been announced to return back to Universal since it was unrightfully evicted from its former space over in Universal Studios, Florida. And, you know, Brendan Fraser was just on a rampage and decided to come in and sweep him out. So, yeah, Kong is now been officially announced. It is going in the space in Islands of Adventure that we all knew about, including the CFO of Comcast, whenever he let it slip out that Kong was returning. They gave us a projected date of summer 2016, which, I mean, you can't get much more precise about the actual date than that. No idea when it'll actually open, but summer 2016. And, oh my gosh, this looks like it's going to be a freaking incredible attraction.
The picture I saw yesterday, like the exterior is... It's something like I guess this isn't what I imagined it was going to look like. So it's just something really cool, and I guess it definitely has that fit to go over there.
Yeah,
like, look of it.
I mean, I've been seeing all the pictures of it, and then we finally had a chance to get over there yesterday.
Yeah,
and we spent too much time over in Diagon Alley, and then a little bit of time at another attraction, and then we rode the Hogwarts Express over. Did not pay attention at all to when the park was actually closing, and so we show up and. We only made it through about Jurassic Park before security was doing their final sweep. So
you know, we could have almost snuck past the security guard too, but
yeah, that
didn't happen.
You see,
I'm a straight edge. I can't do it.
The thing is, considering one of my primary focuses for my job with the Diz is actually going to Universal to cover this stuff. If I'm not allowed back at Universal because I'm sneaking past security, I don't know how relevant my job technically is anymore.
Good point.
I still have Disney World and Disneyland and all the videos I make for them, but I can't do a podcast on Universal if I'm not allowed there.
Well, all right.
So... yeah, we didn't get to actually see the facade because a lot of the scaffolding, not all the scaffolding has completely come down yet, but a good amount is coming down and really showing off that grand front entrance into Skull Island, just like the visuals you see in the Peter Jackson film itself.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I'm going to kind of summarize some of the things we actually know about the attraction currently. And I've got to give credit to where this is coming from. Jim Hill, another fan. Well, not a fan. I mean, it is technically an unofficial site that he runs, but he also writes for Huffington Post, and he does a lot of work with Disney. I believe he did a phone interview with Mike West, who is an executive in Universal Creative. Mm-hmm. And during that interview, a good amount of information came out. And I will try to paraphrase some of these quotes that Mike West did give about what is happening on Skull Island. So one of the things he said, with this attraction, we'll be taking guests into the physical environment of Skull Island, which isn't just full scale, it's larger than life scale. Take, for example, our Great Wall. It's 72 feet high in the front with these massive gates that open, and your expedition vehicle approaches these cauldrons, the flames flare up. Then the giant set of doors open and your vehicle enters in this highly themed series of caverns and chasms where you first encounter some creatures that you can't even imagine and then ultimately find yourself face to face with the big guy himself.
If you don't mind, I just right then and there from that explanation, that sounds like we have a little bit of a mixture of you know, the Jurassic Park boat ride, the King of Kong attraction in Hollywood, and like something like Transformers or Spider-Man, because I would imagine they would use screens and stuff like
that. Yeah, I was thinking when you say the ride vehicle, I can imagine like the Indiana Jones rides at Disneyland,
yeah.
Like is what I was like. I'm hoping there's movement like that and it's not all projected.
Well, here's some more stuff in terms of the ride vehicle. It's a really big ride vehicle, one of the largest we've ever created, but it has to be the scale. And it has to be because the scale of this entire attraction is enormous. Not to mention that this ride vehicle has to be big enough to handle the rough terrain of Skull Island, as well as protect our guests from some of the creatures that they'll encounter there. And then in terms of 3D, don't get me wrong, our ride will also feature incredible 3D imagery, which of course Universal is really well known for these days, but Skull Island Reign of Kong is really going to be more multi-experiential than it is multi-dimensional because of the many different ways we're going to immerse our guests into this world of Kong.
Then that definitely makes me think of like Spider-Man when you're in the queue and like Doc Ock shoots the box behind you that starts floating. And I love that stuff. Like that's like my favorite. So I'm hoping that's like that on a new level.
Oh yeah. No, it's going to be absolutely incredible. And one other thing I will just point out before I just end my quoting of Mike West this and Mike West that. Mm-hmm. One of the other things he said is, your adventure actually begins as you enter the queue for Skull Island Reign of Kong. I mean, people who are familiar with Universal theme parks will acknowledge that we're pretty well known now for creating these wonderful immersive worlds, but the queue for Skull Island is going to be just amazing. In order to get to your expedition vehicle while you're first... In order to get to your expedition vehicle, you're first going to have to make your way through the dense jungle. As you get further in, you'll have to maneuver through these temple ruins. You'll also encounter some hostile natives along the way, not to mention stumbling upon some cryptic messages that hint at some of the dangers you'll encounter on the ride.
That's cool.
So
that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it sounds basically like that. Universal has started to go above and beyond with their queues as well, in terms of Forbidden Journey especially and Gringotts. But now it seems like, I mean, you're going to stumble upon natives. I doubt these are going to be like projections. So maybe there's going to be actors like back in the old days of whenever they had actors in the queue for Dueling Dragons. Or
I didn't know they did that. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. At one point in time, I mean, obviously, I wasn't ever at Universal back in those days, but one of the final rooms before you got to the choosing your fate of which dragon you're going to was called Merlin's Final Warning. And apparently, at one point in time, they had a Merlin actor that would be standing there spouting out bits of information.
That's cool. I love that stuff because it just makes what and I'm glad that, like, it's in their minds right now is like the wait for these things are going to be like 90 minutes plus probably. So like making the line an experience too, just, or the queue an experience, it just kind of, it's nice, you know, it makes that time go by and real a lot faster. And I don't know.
If there's either actors portraying natives and coming at you, and those natives in Peter Jackson's King Kong, they were disgusting looking. They were creepy.
Scary.
So no matter how it's done, if it would be like Christopher Walken disaster projections or
the Harry Potter projections
even, or animatronics or live actors, regardless of how it's done, I'm sure it's going to be done right.
Yeah.
And it's going to probably terrify a lot of kids. But that being said, it was also said that the height requirement for this ride will be 34 inches. To make it family friendly for more kids.
That's actually a very low height.
It's very low. Yeah. Like Cat in the Hat has a higher height requirement.
Okay.
It's probably one of those things where, based on this image that you can see in the buzz, if you're in like almost like a safari vehicle, you know, kids have to sit in the middle and parents on the outside.
So you're not going to get jostled around too much then, obviously.
I think there will be a good amount of jostling. It's a much easier vehicle to accommodate to families and stuff.
Okay.
Just from what I know, all I know really is some of the rumors and speculation that I've been reading on other sites, this information that Mike West put out, and then what I can see from the concept art. And I will have a link to the blog about the official announcement for Kong in our show notes page, as well as I will also put up the pictures of a concept art in that, so that way everyone will be able to see it. But yeah, it's gonna be family friendly and that kids will be able to get on it. I just don't know how scary it's gonna be.
Yeah, it might not be family friendly enough.
Well, Harry Potter, I mean, the Escape from Gringotts.
Forbidden Journey.
Yeah, that thing scares me. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's in the same vein as Harry Potter. So it's not like, I applaud Universal for like going in like that and not, you know, not succumbing to being like, oh, was it too? Because it's exciting. Like, those are the kind of rides I loved as a kid because I was afraid to do roller coasters. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the alternative. That's the fun, like, exciting. Like, it scares me in a good way.
It's also the thing that kind of sets them apart from Disney.
Yeah.
Disney has all of the much more emotionally tame rides for the younger crowd. I think Universal appeals to a different demographic for the reason that they go in a different direction.
Yeah. Now, and I do want to share some of the rumors and speculation as well. And I've got to give complete credit to Orlando United, one of the biggest websites in terms of posting out spoilers and upcoming. I mean, the people who are on that site know people who are willing to leak information. And they're not always right about everything, but a good amount of times they are right. And they've posted a lot about what Kong should be like. And one of the things in particular that I've looked at on their site actually says that the ride will start outdoors in the jungles, kind of like they're describing, before you go through that gate. I mean, obviously from the concept art, mm-hmm. it's starting outside before it goes in.
Mm-hmm.
However, they also posted on their site that it's possible that they are building a B version of the ride too, that is all indoors. So that way, if it is raining or thunderstorming, they don't have to shut the ride down. Huh. And that there'll be a way that you can skip the outdoor portions of the ride.
Now, that's interesting. I can't recall a ride that has done that before.
It's the first one. Usually, yeah. If they're outdoors, then they're, you know, they're outdoors. Shut down, yeah. If they're inside, then they don't have to worry about. I don't think I've ever heard of an attraction being built that it has
a B track, right.
So yeah. They don't have to go down for thunderstorms.
I mean, it's smart. That's They've fantastic. Only been in Orlando, Florida for 25 years, and you know it, snows.
It snows all the time.
It snows every day. It rains every single day from like April through November. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I read on their site was that they will have the Kong animatronic, like pretty much all of us figured.
The big guy.
The big man. On top of that, there will be projections, as Mike West even said, and it's going to be an even bigger set than Gringotts. Because Gringotts is, I mean, they prided it on it being a 360 set, and that mm-hmm. no matter where you looked around, you would feel immersed in it. Kong's supposed to be like that on an even bigger level.
That's cool.
Wow.
And from what I understand is that they believe it's going to be somewhere around 70% actual physical sets and then 30% 3D imagery.
That's actually a big ratio when you consider what, you know, where they went with Transformers, which is like 90-10.
Yeah.
You know, along those lines.
Exactly. And
that makes me all the more excited for it. I mean, I love the idea that the computer-generated part of it is going to be minimized.
Yeah, no, it needed to be that way, though. Mm-hmm. They're not overdoing it, but...
Yeah, they're, like, doing it right. They're doing... Like, there was that time when it was, like, Spider-Man had come out, and Disney did Toy Story Midway Mania, and I was mm-hmm. like, these are the rides of the future, these cheap... Not to say those rides aren't fun or whatever. I'm just saying, like, it feels like... Not Spider-Man, digital. Just Toy Story. It's very flat. Like, all the surfaces mm-hmm. are flat. Everything's painted. It's just screens. You're just looking at screens the whole time. And for me, that's boring, especially because you get motion sickness. My mom can't enjoy that. Like, so I like that they're still going that route, but making it accessible to people like me or my mom or something like that, where they're... It's the right way they went with like movie special effects. It's not Episode One Star Wars. It's like J.J. Abrams Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, a good blend.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm extremely excited for this. I think it's – at one point in time, I believe I even said that I thought it was going to be around like a D-ticket type attraction. Amazing. People are going to love it. But just from everything that's coming out there, it's got to be – a major, major attraction now. Yeah. I mean,
it's very surprising too. Like, I don't know. It just seems they're being proactive because that I know you said it. This is in the realm of Peter Jackson's movies, right?
It's technically Peter Jackson has worked with them a lot on a lot of the look and designs.
Uh-huh.
However, this is not an attraction based directly on King Kong 2005, nor is it going to be based on completely Skull Island. It's under that same blanket of we're using the look and the feel, but it's not based on any story.
It's just cool because it's a proactive, and I hope this is the future. Like, they went into an area where they were like, well, Kong, there's so many King Kong movies that we can kind of, and we know there's might be a trend coming again because we've got this movie in the works that they clearly have some faith in. And they're just kind of like, if the movie succeeds or fails, the ride could still be awesome.
I'm sorry, did I just catch that? Is there a King Kong movie in the works?
It's called Kong Skull Island. And it's like, yeah, it's supposed to come out in, I think, 2017 with Tom Hiddleston in it.
I love Tom Hiddleston. Yeah. He's great as Loki.
It's a prequel to King Kong, is what I was. So it's all about just the island or something.
Can I bring up another point that we've touched on?
Yes, please.
What do you think they'll do in terms of the themed name of the area, like on the park maps?
It is going to be Skull Island. It's not going to be a Jurassic part of Park. Jurassic Park.
Okay. Oh, that's
and
good.
That does leave it open, I guess, technically, wanted to bring anything else into Skull Island, whether it's small attractions, gift shops, whatever, they can, because that's not Skull Island. And I'm glad that they are officially now putting an island in Islands of Adventure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking like the islands in the name there now. Yeah.
I mean, so technically cool. With it Jurassic fits, Park, yeah. That was also an island. Well, it is, but
Isla Nublar.
Yeah. So
Isla Nublar.
A second island. Right next to the other island.
Cool.
I was trying to think of Vince Vaughn's Spanish translation.
Cinco de Muertes means five deaths.
It means five deaths. He can't take us any further. Yeah. He's dropping us off here.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I had one more thing I was going to throw in, and I completely blanked on it.
Sorry. We brought you to the Death Islands.
We were talking about the movie. I don't know if you had something to say about the movie.
Yeah, I'm just...
Isla Sorna, that's the island. Sorry. It's my own brain.
It just completely...
Kong, Tom Hiddleston, movie,
that's the sound of a screeching halt in this podcast.
Yeah. No, that's sad that I can't remember. If I ever remember it, I'll probably just randomly bring it up. But I think we shared a lot of fact with a lot of potential rumors, and hopefully we'll get to see it one day, as long as we all make it.
Oh my God.
What the heck?
I pray for good health for all.
I don't know. Maybe we'll blow a tire.
Okay. And miss the movie by 5 minutes. That's what you're saying. Not like all.
Oh no, we'll be alive.
We were going to die.
No, we don't know if we're going to make it.
You all make it.
You guys are always thinking so negatively.
You say stuff like that. What do you expect?
Let's get positive. Also,
depending on our survival, we will all be.
Depending on our survival, literally less than a day after Universal officially announced King Kong, they also dropped something else on us.
They sure did.
A huge Luigi
bomb, and that's that Nintendo and Universal announced a partnership to build major attractions.
They dropped a ba-bomb.
Oh, on us. Good one. Boop, boop, nailed it. Boop, 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 sorry. Boop, boop. I got really excited for that. I just hope they tie in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Craig, can you reel this in or something, man?
I'm trying to reel it in, but I just...
I guess I left my pole at home.
Well, honestly, not a lot of information was given. They just kind of put out their press release that they are going to be building major attractions for Universal Parks and Resorts. They did not say which parks. However, I think it's painfully obvious that they're going to do something in Universal Studios Japan, which they actually don't own. They license out that part. Right. They give their license to it and run it as Universal Studios Japan. The same thing goes for Singapore and Beijing whenever it opens.
Yeah.
Those aren't owned by NBC Universal Comcast. Just given out. But the parks they do own, including Hollywood and Florida. Orlando, I would say it's far more likely that anything will be coming to Orlando and not Hollywood.
Yeah, I'd probably do the Harry Potter route. Yeah. It started here and then went there.
Hollywood is just running out of space, though.
Right. They would have to build another escalator.
However, they do have... I just don't know enough about Universal Hollywood rumors. They do have a giant space right now that completely opened up whenever they closed down their House of Horrors out there, and that's a big construction pit. One of the many construction pits that we saw
a lot, yeah.
That we'll be talking about very shortly, actually.
I have a question, because I don't think it ties into the Nintendo thing, but yeah. Didn't they also, when it was either when they were announcing Kong or maybe it was the Nintendo, but they had talked about making an attraction in every park every year from now on, or for like 5 years?
Yeah, that was another thing that actually could have been Buzz. Comcast and Universal released more profits from the past year, and I want to say they went up 33%.
Yeah, I remember you saying total
profits,
like that.
And then I might be getting the numbers backwards, and then theme park attendance rose 25%. So
it was really high, like it was insanely high. Like,
oh yeah, no, massive.
But and then yeah, I think they might have said it with Kong, because I feel like you told me this, and then like the next day we had the Nintendo announcement, and I was wondering like, is the Nintendo announcement, was it part of that? Or if they, you know what I mean? Like, it seems very aggressive for an attraction.
But this particular announcement with the Nintendo is very vague in terms of timing, location, everything. It's just, they're just saying we are teaming up with Nintendo. Yeah.
And here's the deal with that. They never said that this would be, they said major attractions. They never said that this is going to be Nintendo Land or Nintendo World, anything like that. Just major attractions. They could easily build an entire theme park out of Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So definitely they could do a land. Speaking of at Universal Orlando specifically, where would they put a Nintendo land if they had one?
Yeah, I would. Universal Studios.
Yeah, Universal Studios, first off. Second, it's not Kids Land.
Woody Woodpecker's Fun Zone.
Kids Zone.
Oh, my God. Get it wrong one more time. Get it wrong one more time.
Barney's Graveyard.
That's where he keeps his probably
bodies. That's actually a really good description.
And that's why you keep staying on this podcast. Because you make me chuckle every once in a while. But yeah, Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone.
I think that this is a really smart move on Universal's part. It's so much more relevant kid-wise than what they currently have. I realized this the other day was, you know, those quizzes on Facebook that they have. So I was doing a couple with my daughter, who is 10, and we went through I found this extremely interesting, went through a Recognize the Disney Characters quiz, and she struggled through a lot of those, to my surprise. And
is this your oldest daughter?
No, my youngest. I was completely horrified, actually, by that. And then we followed that with a video game quiz. Recognize the video game characters. Knew almost every single one, especially the Nintendo ones. She was on it, whether it's the Princess Peach or Princess Daisy. Like, I was, and she knows all the differences between all of those.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, extremely relevant to kids, young ones.
When the news came out, I know on Disboards, one person started a thread about Nintendo coming out, and they kind of seem negative about like, oh, it's Nintendo, who cares? I know personally, my first video game system was a Super Nintendo, and even though I'm not a huge fan of Nintendo systems anymore, I grew up playing my Super Nintendo, my N64. My neighbors had the original Nintendo, so I got a chance to play that over at their house. And I mean, blow on those cartridges.
Passing out in my room. My mom finds me with a Nintendo cartridge.
Love it. Every kid knew how to do it.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
It's not actually a question. I just have a really
statement.
It's a statement.
Oh.
How can they not make an interactive Mario Kart attraction?
Yeah. Right? Seems like that it has to be first, you know, on the docket.
It's what everyone wants.
Roller coaster something. I don't know. Shoot shells at other people and make them blow up.
Even if it's some kind of go-kart track, a controlled version
Mario
of it.
Mario Kart is one of their best-selling properties. It contains all their popular characters, and it sells great.
And let's go real briefly before we keep talking about stuff like that.
Okay.
Some of their big franchises that they own, Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Kirby. Legend of Zelda. Mario and all the worlds of Super Mario Brothers, Super Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, etc.
Galaxy.
Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And
Star Fox.
A little company that they own majority stake in, from what I read. That might not be true, but Pokemon.
Pokemon's
technically owned by the Pokemon Company.
Right.
Yeah. But they're huge video game.
They produce Pokemon is produced exclusively by Nintendo software and hardware.
Exactly. So clearly they have nothing that they could ever pull from if they wanted to build some major attractions.
I mean, merchandise alone is, it's going to be that same Harry Potter. And I should say right away, like you mentioned that person being negative, like, okay, they've had Harry Potter. They've done well. They did so well with Transformers. They did amazing with that Simpsons Land. Like, they haven't done anything in the last couple of years that would even for a second make me worry that they're not going to completely handle this appropriately and in an extremely creative way.
And it's just, it's so relevant because we grew up with it. Us that have kids, eventually we're gonna tell them about these characters. I mean, that's what I would want my kids.
Well, in my case,
playing.
I have kids that I didn't tell about these characters. I mean, I did play Nintendo a little bit when I was younger, but it's not wasn't a staple of my life, and yet somehow it apparently is a staple of my kids' lives. So,
well, I don't see kids walking around. Not that I see kids very often, but whenever I do in theme parks, I don't see them ever walking around.
Weird way to say that.
With PlayStation Vitas or whatever they're called, but I do see DSs in a lot of places still.
My children own them.
Tetris. What if it was human? I'm sorry. Okay. I recently had a really bad craving to play Tetris because if you're like our age, it's in your blood.
Yeah, that game's so addictive. You get a real need for it.
But I had to look for an original Game Boy, and I think to myself, like, people still have Game Boys. Like,
I have it on my iPhone.
Well, I didn't like the iPhone. I want the buttons.
Oh, you want the buttons?
It relaxes me. Yeah.
So there is so much that can happen. I think one of the absolute givens is they will do something Mario Kart. I came up with my pondering of it would be maybe a dark ride attraction on the same level as like Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin out in Disneyland, but also using interactive screens to bring in those elements of other racers and
They can do
regular environments.
Because at that Men in Black attraction, after you go through the alien scanning thing, you can shoot the other card. And when you hit the other card, it like spins around. Oh, yeah. So it's easy to be like, launch the turtle thing and you could see like a turtle like shell come out.
Right.
And, like,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Heck. Get rid of Men in Black Alien Attack.
You do.
Put it there. Mm-mm-mm. I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking. Nintendo.
Yeah. It's exciting. Huge. Yeah.
Other places it could take over potentially. It's going in kid zone. E.T. probably won't go. From what I understand, if anything ever happens to Kid Zone, E.T. will get sucked back into Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
It's just they'll have E.T. like jumping on Goombas and,
and going, whoopee! Steven Spielberg would lose his mind if they tried to get rid of E.T.
Well, they get rid of the animal actor show, right? Is that part of the Kid Zone?
I'm not sure if that would go, but...
I mean, that's a big plot of land if they want to choose that.
It's a very big plot of land. It should go, but, you know, then... That's a nice thing that they do with animal actors, that they put on a little show, and then after they get too old, then they donate off the animals to anyone who wants them. They actually do that.
Oh, that's... I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's where it is most likely going whenever something does come. Other places it could go. Toon Lagoon.
Do you think
potentially.
That... Oh,
isn't Toon Lagoon
like that.
Very popular in terms of like summer water rides?
Yeah,
yes. And
no.
Stuff,
so that's why I never see it going. And then a couple free minds are saying that Universal is going to get paid billions by Disney to finally give up all of their Marvel licensing. And then they would need something to replace it. I don't ever see that happening.
No.
The number would have to be so ridiculously high, or they would have to pay them... you know, just in the future, every month, give them an allowance check or something in order to make that work. So, Kid Zone, eventually, hopefully details will come out very soon because I am very excited to know more about what's actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope this is one of those, like, high, you know, the ball's rolling, like a Diagon Alley situation where it's rolling.
And there's a lot of space back behind Kid Zone as well because when you do Halloween Horror Nights, you walk back there for some of the sound stages. There's a lot of sound stages
there
back
is.
There. Right.
Yeah. Now, Universal's just on a roll after opening up Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you have that Harry Potter fan base that does recognize themselves as Universal fans, but they're still Harry Potter fans first that now appreciate Universal. Now Universal Orlando fans are getting Kong, which I expect to be, if you're a true Universal fan, that's going to be the best attraction anymore, not Wizarding World.
Yeah.
That's great for Harry Potter fans, but Kong is
that's a huge statement right there.
I see what you're saying.
There's two separate. There's fans of Universal and fans of Harry Potter. You can be fans of both, but if you're a fan of Universal,
King Kong,
I think
is
King Kong is going to be number
one. It's a true Universal like movie. Yeah. It's a Universal legend, I would say. Like,
and then Nintendo is just this wide. Get ready to be seeing a lot more
children.
Yeah, that's what that it may be. What they need to really pull in that younger kid market, because Woody Woodpecker ain't doing it, man.
And it's, I mean, not being just straightforward, it's also going to bring in a lot more Asian visitors.
Very
into
possible.
Universal Orlando, something that I mean, you see. But you see that more in terms of United States over in Hollywood and Disneyland.
Disney. Yeah.
Because it's a lot closer.
Yep.
So it's just going to bring in a whole nother.
I would love that.
Whole nother group. And
up in their game again.
It's going to be an exciting 10 years for Universal.
Yeah, good stuff.
The Universal decade. And with that, we are going to stop talking about what's buzzing and shuffle along into our mid-show shuffle, which is very brief. And in this mid-show shuffle, we're going to talk about a little experience that we had yesterday. So Rhino, myself, and Jenny Lynn all went to do a dining review for an upcoming episode. And while we were there, we decided to actually hang out in the parks and have fun because, well, we sometimes like each other.
Yeah.
On a good day, no. On a bad day.
Every other Thursday.
Yes, on a random Thursday, yes. And one of the experiences we did is we were at Men in Black, and we were lucky enough to get selected for an immigration tour.
So
what's cool. An immigration tour, yeah. Rhino?
It is a tour, you can see in this picture here, of when you first come through the elevator.
Oh. You can see on the picture if you're watching the video version. For those listening on the audio version.
Sorry, gang.
You won't be able to see it, but
it's a picture of Bob and Brett,
when you come through the elevator into the Men in Black attraction, you're coming into the Men in Black facility. And so when you're experiencing the attraction, you walk around the upper level and you're looking down into where like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones' desk were in the movie. And we got to go, and guests don't normally go down there, but we got to go down there yesterday.
Yeah. If to start it out, if you go up and ask an employee that's working there, a team member, not an employee, they might be nice enough, if they have open staff, to give you a tour of the immigration floor. And you'll get to go down there like we did. And basically, you're just allowed down there to look around. You're not allowed to touch Bob and blah. But
weenie! Yeah.
Hands off.
The twins, yeah. I call them the twins.
You're not allowed to touch twins, and we're not talking about the twins from Minority Report.
Just don't touch twins in general.
Yeah, don't touch twins
in general. No twin touching.
And you're allowed to just kind of go down and root through some of the stuff. I mean, there's a lot of cool little details down there. Of course, you can take as many pictures as you want of yourselves all around there. A good one, I should have got it off of you, but you didn't get here early enough, of Jenny Lynn sitting looking like a BA.
Totally.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that second word, so I'm not going to.
You said
it's a clean show for kids and families.
I'm sitting in one of the lounge chairs with my sunglasses on.
Yeah, you're looking like
totally
a...
Totally fitting in.
Looking like a BAMF.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Instead,
fun
we have...
With my MIBs.
Instead, we have me.
Well, I was at the desk typing. Rhino didn't really frame it well, but that's okay.
You didn't have to include the photo.
Yeah, I did, because... Because
there's a better one. Did you include the one of us at the desk? There I am.
Yeah, and you're allowed to walk around, and you can go around to all the desks and kind of sort through the paperwork and stuff, which there's...
Oh, that's cool.
So
there's
cool.
Some awesome paperwork.
And they're actually, like, filled out and stuff? Like, they have real details?
Immigration forms.
Well, if you... for those watching and anyone else, you'll be able to see it on the show notes later, but they do have immigration forms. I put in my favorite one there, which is, of course, John Lithgow, and his family name and his given name was Dick Solomon, based on his character from Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Those universes are connected, aren't they?
You might see other famous people on some of those immigration forms, like Oprah, Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, Charlie Day. Is It's a Trap. It was Trap Itza. Like Ittizia.
Did you say Charlie Day?
Yeah. He has one too. I don't have any of the other ones to share. I only brought the John Lithgow one. But there's a lot that you can see there. I'm upset because someone went down and was looking around and started drawing all over the actual immigration form. So hopefully someone does something to fix that. But it's so cool to do this experience.
We had a good time.
I mean, Disney is very well known for doing magical moments that, you know, just really set apart why a Disney trip can be so special. I think this is one of the... Yeah, we were looking tough. I think this is one of those things, if they have open staff that can actually take you down there if you're nice enough to ask. This is one of those things that can set a universal vacation apart from just being a good vacation into a great one.
I will tell you, Disney does have stuff like this as well. Not too much, but when I worked at Mission Space, this was during the 2.5 years of A Million Dreams. And so one of the dreams that, you know, you make come true is come on into Mission Space Mission Control and, look around the logs and the buttons and stuff like that. And don't push the emergency stop.
It makes you appreciate the people who have created this a lot more, because even when we picked up those immigration forms, there were still three or four papers in the thing that weren't blank papers. Like, they were all covers of the Inquisitor or the Inquirer. Yep. And so it was really funny to go around and see like what the titles were and
the details that were there that they didn't actually have to provide, that it would have, the people walking and, looking down into the area would never see the papers in the stacks, but that they were still there. It's definitely cool. So my question is, because that's what I was going to read in the beginning, mm-hmm. James Guilford asked us, how do we get down there? You've explained that if you ask a cast member on occasion, they will give you a tour of that just upon random request. Are there any other ways to get access to this that could maybe be a little bit more planned for the planners out there?
VIP tours.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll take them down there. I don't know about all the time, but I know any time I've been on a VIP tour, I've been taken down there.
Okay. So. And during Halloween Horror Nights last year, when I did the RIP tour, we were taken down there during our tour time.
Yeah.
And we were actually given drinks. They served. Yeah. They had like a little mini bar there, and everyone was served beverages.
Yeah, I completely forgot
about
that.
And we hung out in the lounge in the MIB headquarters.
It's so cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah. That was my first time down there, so.
It's amazing. Mid-show shuffle. That was one of our best mid-show shuffles we've ever done.
I wish you had put the...
And there was no dancing from Rhino, so thank God.
There was. He didn't cut to it.
Jesus.
Every time.
If you want to check out my favorite picture, the Diz Universal tweeted it yesterday, and it's the three of us at the desk just chatting with the twins.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite one. I'm sorry. That picture. Leave something for the other people.
Leave it for, if you want to see it, go ahead and follow Diz Universal on Twitter at Diz Universal. So with that, we're going to move on to our spotlight on the universe, which is all about American Ninja Warrior.
Gong sound.
So a couple weeks ago, we reported, that's been a long time at this point. We reported that American Ninja Warrior was going to be taping in the New York section of Universal Studios Florida. And I signed up for tickets and I actually got them.
Yeah.
And which...
For the first night, too, right?
For the first night, and something that made me very happy, because the only other time I have tried to sign up for tickets for anything at Universal was when Steve Harvey was here, and I didn't get in. And I love that man and his mustache.
I know you do.
It's
his reactions to Family Feud answers.
Yeah, it's one of those things I can't
the
pinpoint
best internet
why.
Memes I've ever seen.
So we actually got in. They filmed on two nights. This past week on Sunday, May 10th, and also on Monday, May 11th. Go figure. 2 days in a row. and this, to say that this set was not that much of a big deal and that it was just a small thing is a gross understatement.
Yeah.
This was massive. The set literally took up most of New York Street.
Yeah, and if you're watching this right now, that photo that's on the screen, that's only half of it, right? Because there was still more behind us. Yeah, because those are the monkey bars. That's not even the finish of the first section of it. Like, so there was, you had to make it through a whole nother, like a wall to jump up there, and then there's a whole nother obstacle course behind that.
So, yeah, this was such a big deal. And because of that, it was a bit of a crazy experience. So let's start from the beginning and go through this. I signed up and got the tickets, and I was able to select a time because on each night they had three times available, 10:30, 12:30, and 2:30. Because for anyone who's ever seen American Ninja Warrior, if you haven't ever paid attention, it's all at night. Mm-hmm. It's always at night, no matter where it is. That's just the staple of the show, which I guess it would also make for cooler elements. It looks a little more exciting on TV, all those lights going off.
I was going to say all the lights on the rigs.
Yeah, it just, it has to happen at night. So it said on our tickets that I got for a group of four, it said that we needed to show up at 10:30 to start being let in for the audience. So we get there at about 10:15 to get in line, and there were multiple lines. There was entry for families and friends, and then also there was an entry for people who got the audience tickets like us. Mm-hmm. And whenever I say family and friends, I don't mean just random family and friends members. I mean people who are family and friends of the participants.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Was theme park admission required?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Because this was after hours. This was, if you had a ticket, you could get in to watch it.
On that family and friends note too, when he says like the participants, it's not like, on TV, it might be less than how many we saw, but when we get to the break, but we saw like, 30 people, and we were watching like maybe the third taped segment. So there must have been like 100 participants, maybe more, and they all had like tons of people with them.
Oh, yeah. So there was so many people participating in this, and they brought everyone to come and cheer them on.
Yeah.
And it was massive. So, like I said, we got there at about 10:15, 10:20-ish, got in line. And 10:30 comes, and we expect to get let in. And that was not the case. Apparently, they had to pack the family and friends in for the competitors that were going first. Mm-hmm. And then they let in a small group of people, I guess, from the people that they could actually still get in there. So after about a half an hour of waiting and barely moving, then we bid adieu to JL. And she left because, well, she has kids and responsibilities.
They have to be at school the next morning, and I was already feeling like a guilty mom for being out so late. And it didn't look like we were going to make much progress, so I was out of there.
Yeah, so
JL bails. Was Mother's Day.
That it was. So then I was starting to get irritated because if you've ever met me or known me, I get irritated at points in time.
No.
It's
once in a while. It's a very rare occasion.
I have a very, very little patience.
Every other Thursday.
So so then another half an hour later, we finally moved up a little bit. And then another 15 minutes later, we moved up a little more. And then Rhino and I finally made it inside.
We were with our friend Shane, too, I should say.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So there were three of us. So we were a small group.
Yeah. And we finally made it in after 12 o'clock. So, and I got there at 10 o'clock first. So I'm already put over 2 hours.
Well, I should say what's funny is like Craig and I would be like, all right, let's give it to, let's say, I was like 11:45. And he's like, well, 12:30. And I was like, well, let's say 12. 12's all right. And we would be like, it'd be like 11:58. And they would let in like 6 or 7 people. And then we were like 15 people from the front. And we're like, all right, let's say till 12:30 now. And like, so it was almost like every time it got right to the point where we were like, let's go, something would happen. We'd move forward.
So we finally get in after 12. And I hadn't been inside Universal to see the set yet. So I didn't know how it was all built. We get in, and the first place they set us is these bleachers that would have been prime location if we would have been there on the second night. But because we were there on the first night, they were only running the first half of the course. So if you're unfamiliar with the show, they have basically a super, super long course. And the first part of the course always ends with what they call the wall. That, you know, if they make it through and they can run up the wall and hit the buzzer, then they're through. And then to come back and continue competing more, then there's more obstacles after that. And this one ended with the, I believe it's called the spider climb.
Spider walk.
The spider walk. Yeah, and it's basically you're in, it's a giant 30-foot high structure that there's a gap in the wall, and you basically put your hands and legs on the side, and you just
that
keep moving
like
up like
so
that.
No,
we didn't,
fun.
We didn't see
do
people do that.
However, yeah, we were there on the first night, so we didn't get to see anyone doing that because we were in they weren't using that part of the course.
Yeah. I used to do something similar up through door frames when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just you could be on American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, I'm going to try out next year.
So we then, after people kept leaving, then they would move us a little closer. And then finally at around, I would say, 1 o'clock, we finally made it in front of the stage.
Yeah.
In front of the part of the stage where everything was happening.
Like, and it's the bar and the stage. Like, and it's like the area where the family walked through. Yeah. So
it was incredible. However, then they went on a break. So
they were like 25-minute break, crew. And I was like, oh, yeah.
So the crew had a break so they could eat and reset and get everything ready. And that lunch break ended up taking a little over an hour, despite the 25 minutes. Oh. So we did not see our first up close competitors until a little bit after 2 o'clock.
And we were going to be, we even said, we were like, all right, well, let's watch like one or two people, because in from where we could see before, like, they had little TV screens further down. Yeah. So it's not like we couldn't see on the TV what was happening. And we were like, oh, I saw a shadow. Like, we said, we'll stay for like one or two because nobody's making it to the end. It'll be fine. Whatever. And then when they got started.
Yeah, then they got started. They were all doing bad. So we're like, okay, we're going to stay until we see someone beat the wall.
Yeah.
And then a guy comes and beats the wall. And then we're like, okay, that was awesome. We're going to stay for a couple more now.
The adrenaline was going.
And then people are failing left and right. And so then we're like, okay, well, we're going to stay until someone else does it. And then finally, another person beat the wall. And so we left and we're walking out. And then right after that guy beat the wall, another person came up and beat the wall.
I was going to say, as we were going, I saw the
thing go off. The funfetti.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
We saw a lot of people get real close to the wall, too. I should say that. Yeah. Like, I think that we were in our area at the opportune moment because, like, from what I saw from the. If we had been there when we were in the faraway bleachers, we would have seen a lot of people fail on the first obstacle, which was this like log roll thing.
Yeah.
And our people were making it at least halfway through.
Okay. So my question becomes, obviously this filming of this show in the park was done with some like really trying circumstances. I mean, staying till 2 a.m. or whatever it is very trying for people in general, but do you feel like it was well enough received that we're going to see more repeat things like this in the park?
Oh, absolutely.
They said that there were like people that were camping out to see this starting early. We just didn't see them, you know? Yeah. And I should note too, though, we were like audience fillers. We were there to fill the gap. Exactly. So whenever they brought in the new participant's family, which could be like 15 people, and they just needed like two people here, like that's how we kept moving forward. Yeah. So
that's why we didn't make it in when we thought we would make it.
I mean, they could have honestly, like, if they had just brought in everybody's participant at the same time, I don't think they would have had enough space for it, but they could have had the whole crowd filled.
I think
like,
the important thing to remember about these the situation with the audience waiting in line for that, for these television shows, like you would have for American Ninja Warrior or for Steve Harvey, these aren't the policies of Universal Studios. This isn't, they're not the ones that are saying you can't come in and see this. This is the production companies that are saying we have enough people, we need to move them at a certain pace. Yeah. So you can't blame Universal for that.
Exactly. And I just kind of want to wrap this up in general, but the whole reason why we're even talking about this isn't so much necessarily because Rhino and I got to see something that was pretty freaking cool.
It
was awesome. But the whole point is, we've talked a lot in this show about kind of frustrations with Universal Studios and stuff like Hollywood Studios that were built to have all of this production happening, and then nothing's really happened. And now all of a sudden, Universal is, okay, well, we're going to bring back Impact Wrestling. Steve Harvey's come in. Ellen has come before.
Sharknado.
Sharknado 3 filmed in there. I mean, now American Ninja Warrior had its film there. In getting to see that park being used for what it's intended was one of my best Universal memories now ever. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. And I've never seen a big production like that. And I mean, as something that I could have saw myself going to school for, I went for communication, but that could have been a route that I ever went down in terms of video production.
That was my minor,
Seeing how they do, like, reset, go. Reset, go, from a film standpoint.
And it was very, I should say, like, once they got going, they had that longer break, but once they got going, there wasn't a moment there that it didn't seem like things were running smoothly for them.
Yeah. And, I mean, being part of, you have to go through crap. doing those audios. You have to clap and act excited, and you have to they make you practice your disappointed face. And they were literally doing, they did it over and over and over again, set up cameras all along everyone, so that way they had cutaways and they didn't have to get those live in the moment.
I want to say something really nice though, that in that vein too, is if you have, if you did wait, like they said to us, the audience member, if you were like a friend and family of a participant, you had to leave when they were done.
Yeah.
But they said if you have a red band, which was us who had waited for tickets, you were allowed to stay the entire night.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go anywhere. And they just kept letting you move forward. And they gave us water bottles.
Yeah.
So we could just keep getting a drink of water when we needed it, which was really nice too.
So, and we're going to have a blog going up with some of the pictures that I took, because, well, one of the things they said, don't take pictures on our ticket, but then everyone had their phone out.
Yeah.
If you didn't have your phone out, you look stupid.
You should watch for, by the way, watch for Craig and I, because of where we were standing.
Yeah.
A lot of the participants' family stood right in front, in between the two of us, especially that one kid who was like, go daddy, go daddy, which is cute. But it was just like, we were there and like,
so you guys got a little TV time, you think?
We might. I mean, it's not important if we did. It was all about seeing the experience. And
it was
awesome, and we'll have I'll have a blog going up kind of showing off some of the pictures of the course that you might have seen on the show, but if you're listening, that'll be a chance to go and look at that. It was a great experience. I highly recommend, if you're ever in town or you think you're going to be in town while something's filming, give it a chance, because I mean, it's what the studios are for. You have to do it. So with that being said, I want to thank everyone for watching, listening, however you ingested us this week. I know you hate that, but that's what it is, ingestion. go ahead and make sure you're following the Diz and the Diz Universal and Diz Unplugged on Facebook, Twitter. Always links to that in the show notes, which you can find at DizUnplugged.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail or email, go to DizUnplugged.com/contact us. And that's where you'll be able to get links to all of that and more. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We'll be back next week with more. See you then.